Thanks for joining us. Tonight, the scene tragically too familiar. Armed officers racing into school in lockdown. Bloodshed. Terrified children running for their lives. At least three people died, all students. Eight others injured at a high school in Oxford Township, Michigan, an hour north of Detroit. Police say the alleged shooter is a 15-year-old sophomore who brought the weapon to school, firing dozens of rounds at students and staff. The alleged shooter was taken into custody, but police say he is not talking. One student telling a reporter he was worried something would happen at school today, so he stayed home.
You had been hearing that there was going to be a possible shooting at the high school?
Yes, I did. I heard it multiple times.
Authorities say none of those rumors made it to them. The FBI tonight joining the investigation.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We turn now to the case against former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. His political career in tatters, now facing a misdemeanor criminal charge stemming from allegations of sexual harassment. Now we're hearing recorded testimony under oath from Cuomo and his accusers.
I explained, the governor asked me about my sex life. He wanted to know if I slept with older men.
For the first time under oath, we're hearing from six of the 11 women accusing former Governor Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment.
He comes in front of me and he kisses me. He's lying because he touched me. He touched me inappropriately.
In his office, the rules were different.
He was blatantly staring down my shirt.
It wasn't just going to be like a casual hug.
Their interviews, part of a trove of evidence released just yesterday by the New York Attorney General's office.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
The disgraced former governor also answering investigators' questions. A nearly nine-hour deposition, forced to directly address the allegations that he sexually harassed women while in office.
Have you ever had an inappropriate relationships with women on your staff?
Inappropriate, I assume, means a sexual relationship with women on my staff? The answer is no.
As part of the Attorney General's investigation, the office also released thousands of pages of documents, including text messages and emails between the former governor's brother, CNN host Chris Cuomo, and his staff. The exhibits showing that the journalist had more involvement with his brother's fallout than previously known. Newly released text messages indicating that Chris pleaded to be allowed to help with the prep in responding to the growing firestorm, suggesting language for statements and press conferences, and agreeing to use his sources to get information about his brother's accusers.
What these documents and text messages show is that he was crafting statements. He was on the lookout for potentially damning stories in other media outlets besides CNN, where he works.
Governor Andrew Cuomo was often a popular guest on his brother's CNN show while New York was in COVID lockdown.
This was the actual swab that was being used to fit up that double barrel shotgun that you have mounted on the front of your pretty face.
And as the crisis in his brother's administration grew, Chris Cuomo declined to cover it on his show.
Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother.
But just today, the younger Cuomo sounding off on his Sirius XM radio show.
I mean, you're going to see it now where people are going to say I was running my brother's defense to the allegations. It's just bullshit. It's just not true.
Hours later, CNN announcing they were suspending the host indefinitely, saying in a statement that they had not been privy to the documents before its public release, and that they pointed to a greater level of involvement in his brother's efforts than they previously knew.
Do you have any regrets about the language you've used towards women in the workplace?
I don't have regrets.
Throughout the marathon grilling, the former governor denied acting inappropriately towards anyone, but admitted there may have been moments he was physically affectionate with women who had not expressly consented.
But a few years ago, with people who I don't know, I would start asking, may I kiss you?
And is that now, as of a couple of years ago, is that in every instance? Do you ask that?
It's not in every instance. It's more with people who I don't know.
The former governor now facing a charge of misdemeanor forcible touching, stemming from an alleged incident with Brittany Camiso, seen in these photos with him, submitted as exhibits. She worked as an executive assistant to Cuomo.
I remember his hand just sliding right up my blouse. And I remember looking down, and I remember seeing his hand, which is, I would say, it's a large hand, and over my bra.
Cuomo maintains his interactions with Camiso were consensual.
And so you have hugged Ms. Camiso?
I have hugged her, and she has initiated many of the hugs.
Ultimately denying the criminal charge against him.
It would be an act of insanity to touch a woman's breast and make myself vulnerable to a woman for such an accusation.
A spokesperson for Cuomo blasting the attorney general, calling Monday's unveiling a manipulated release of hand-picked witness testimony with selective redaction. All of this a stunning reversal for one of the most powerful politicians in the country, once hailed for his assertive response to the coronavirus pandemic.
New York tough means tough, but tough in a New York sense also means compassionate.
Many across the country tuned in to his daily press conferences for guidance.
We're going to get through it because we are New York.
But his leadership would be clouded by controversy as multiple women began to come forward last December with allegations of sexual harassment.
That is just not who I am.
The governor wanted an investigation, and he said when investigators properly evaluated the claims of these women, he would be exonerated. So he turned over the case to the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James.
But instead of vindicating him, the investigation became his undoing.
The independent investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women.
In August, Letitia James, New York's Attorney General, who later announced her own bid for governor, released a 165-page report, a searing indictment of Cuomo and his behavior while in office.
Specifically, the investigation found that Governor Andrew Cuomo sexually harassed current and former New York State employees by engaging in unwelcome and non-consensual touching and making numerous offensive comments of a suggestive and sexual nature.
3 weeks later, under pressure, the 63-year-old resigned.
The best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing.
An astonishing fall from grace for a man who once had designs on the White House, now facing a misdemeanor sex crime charge, due in court to enter a plea.
In the end, there may be no other consequence for Andrew Cuomo other than his resignation in disgrace, but that does not diminish the claims of women, which have been validated by investigators, and they've also succeeded in beginning a culture shift in Albany away from this kind of environment that led to their harassment.
Actor, producer, writer, all titles that don't fully capture the brilliance of Mel Brooks. Add to that, legend and comic genius at 95, telling all in a new book and opening up to ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
Parker?
Ow! Just to scare you. You still got it.
It's good to be the king.
And may the Schwartz be with you.
With his ageless humor and sharp comedic insights,
the Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15. Wait. Ten commandments for all to obey.
This master storyteller has definitely still got it.
Are you in trouble interviewing me?
Why should I be in trouble?
Of course, you don't talk about it. Infrastructure, you don't talk about it. You know,
this is a vacation for me. This is great. In his new memoir, All About Me, My Remarkable Life in Show Business, Mel Brooks, the legendary actor, producer, and writer, takes readers on the journey of a lifetime. Brooks began his career in television as a writer in 1950 on Sid Caesar's variety series, Your Show of Shows.
Guess you can't even get a glass of water in a place like this.
Water!
Tell me about Sid Caesar. Was he your big break?
He was my incredible golden door, my entry into show business at large.
You know, you say you became a writer when you were on Your Show of Shows, but we have this. This is a notebook here, Corporal Melvin Kaminsky.
You got my army.
Yeah, your army notebook, and you were writing back then.
I wrote on the way over. We went over in the beginning of 1945. On a troop ship.
I wonder if your time in the service, is that the root of your fascination with Adolf Hitler?
It was fearful, that's a good word. You know, first of all, they attacked us, and we had no choice. But we were fighting for something good. We were fighting to preserve something wonderful, America.
The original title of the producers, Springtime for Hitler.
That was the original title. Couldn't have a better title, except Joseph E. Levine said a lot of the exhibitors are Jewish, and they've called me and said they're simply not going to put Hitler on the marquee. You got to come up with another title.
How can a producer make more money with a flop than he could with a hit?
Well, it's simply a matter of creative accounting. Let's assume, just for the moment, that you are a dishonest man.
Assume away.
Where did that idea come from, a hit that's made out of a flop?
I worked for a guy, you know, there were many producers that kind of hedged their bets. If a play cost $10,000 to produce, he would raise $11,000. And their only problem was they had to be careful. If they raised too much, then they couldn't, if it was a hit, They couldn't pay all the backers.
The producers, Brooks' film directorial debut, won him an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay in 1969. More than 30 years later...
Never put your own money in the show!
He created the producers' Broadway musical, which won 12 Tony Awards. What have you failed at?
I've plenty. You never saw me in the mountains leaving the stage amid a chorus of boos. You know, when I was doing bad jokes, when I had not yet found my way, which was reality was my way. Tell the truth.
Always by Brooks' side, his wife and collaborator of over 50 years, actress Anne Bancroft, his co-star in the film To Be or Not to Be.
Sweet Georgie Brown.
She passed away in 2005. Is this true that on one of your first dates with Anne, she had to slip you $20 under the table?
She did. I didn't have any money, and I was dating Anne Bancroft, who was on Broadway and The Miracle Worker. So anyway, we were at a Chinese restaurant one night, and I said, I'm broke. She slipped me a $20 bill under the table. And the bill came to something 14 or 15, you know, Chinese. Wasn't that expensive. So, I mean, I gave him the $20 bill, the waiter, and I said, keep it. I got outside, slapped him. I said, why, what? She said, don't be such a big shot with my money. So I learned, you know.
One of his most groundbreaking films, 1974's Blazing Saddles, about a black sheriff in a racist Western town.
And I love an engine underneath the comedy that says something. And this one says something about racial prejudice.
Are we awake?
We are not sure. Are we black?
Yes, we are.
Then we're awake. But we're very puzzled.
We found Cleavon Little, who was absolutely, you know, made for the part.
Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
You write about working on Young Frankenstein with Gene Wilder while you're editing Blazing Saddles.
It's alive!
I had one big fight with Gene. And when he had this idea that he and the monster would sing and dance.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
I said, Gene, I'll film it, and if one person in that screening, one person says it's silly or it's stupid or it's out, one person, he said, deal. We filmed it, putting on a ring, you know. The audience went crazy. And I said, Gene, I apologize. You're absolutely right. It's the funniest thing in the whole movie.
I love the way you write about your relationship with Carl Reiner.
Oh.
The two met in 1950 when Reiner joined Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows.
Now look, Mr. Hi-Ho.
It was the start of a 70-year friendship and a comedy partnership that brought the world the 2,000-year-old man.
Well, sir, yes. I would like to know about one particular lady, Marie Antoinette.
Oh,
it's always fascinating.
Marie Antoinette, what a cutie.
To make Carl laugh was one of the... He was tough.
Take a look at the tag. Read the tag. Read it to the people.
This suit is 100 years old.
That's what it is.
How great, though, to be remembered as someone who makes people laugh.
Well, it's a good job.
No, thank you. This is so much fun to talk to you.
George, this was a pleasure. Now, I have a, you know...
Shoot, go for it.
Yeah. I don't get paid for this.
Finally tonight, 46 years after her death, Josephine Baker is breaking down more barriers. France today inducting the entertainer turned French resistance fighter and civil rights activist into the Pantheon in Paris, the country's mausoleum to heroes. Baker becoming the first performing artist, first black woman, and first American to be so honored. President Macron saying, deep down, there was no one more French than you, or more American. That's Nightline. See you right back here tomorrow, same time. Thanks for staying up with us.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.